All right. Testing, testing. I think we are live. Here we go. Office of the China Hall podcast, episode number, who knows, we failed last week, so we'll call it episode number 4. I'm Bucky Beeman. I'm a commercial real estate agent with Realty Growth Incorporated here at the offices of China Hall, and I got two cool people sitting next to me. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'm Alexa Simmons with Rodin and Fields Dermatologists.
My name's Josh Langman. I started MediaCorp here in town, video production and social media marketing.
There you go. So we had a networking event last week. It was Interconnection. And Interconnection is young professionals kind of getting together on a regular basis, talking about business and just networking and things like that. And Alexis, I saw up here for just a moment. And like then you ran down. And then I saw you come back up to the office of China Hall. And then we were brainstorming, like, who should we do our next podcast with? Yeah. And I was like, well, I'll reach out to Alexis and just see what's up, see if she's available. And right away, you were like, I'm down. Let's make this happen.
Sure.
So right thank on. You very much for coming.
Yeah, thanks for the invite. Appreciate it.
Yes.
What is Rodin and Fields? I don't know that us guys know what Rodin and Fields is.
I do not know.
Most men don't even know they have skin, I don't think. So, yeah, it's okay. It's all good. No, Rodin and Fields works with structural skin care. So we tend to focus on things like acne, sensitivity, sun damage, aging. That's primarily it. So as you age, you know, you do tend to get wrinkles, just like us women do. You age better than women, but yeah, you can still come talk to me. Yeah, you do.
I didn't know
you
that.
You do. Yes, men. You age better than women. And that's because as you age, you start to thin with your lips, you start to get your eyes, your brows start to drop, your cheeks start to sink in. For a woman, we want supple lips, we want supple cheeks, we want high brows. So we tend to look more masculine, while you tend to look more masculine as well.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's why I don't need any Rodin and Fields ever, because I'm just going to end up looking perfect.
No. Fun fact, except you'll be a baby face.
You're going to look too young.
I know.
Your entire life.
I feel like someday I'm going to wake up and I'm just going to like beard mustache, like all of a sudden, boom, it hit me and I'm like 45 years old.
Just dye it. It's okay.
How did you get into Rodin and Fields? Like, what was the story of getting into that business?
Man, let me take you back to little old Alexis, who graduated college and realized she really didn't want to work for someone else. So I kind of woke up one day, I had graduated, I was very lucky and offered positions in my fields, but decided to turn them down because I was going to be an adult and figure it out on my own. Mm-hmm. And started doing some research into industries, and dermatology was one of the top five. And I went, okay, I can work in that, I can try to figure it out, see what there is available. And wandered into a meeting for the company, and the rest is history.
How old were you when you did that?
23. I was a baby.
Wow.
And how old are you now?
Oh, really? You're never supposed to ask a woman that, Bucky. This is like unsaid.
Are we going to take guesses?
Actually, guess. Yeah, how old do you think I am?
Well, with Rodin and Fields, you're probably looking like
65.
Four or 5 years younger on average.
Oh, thanks. No, I'm 30.
30.
Just turned 30.
Super young professional.
Right on.
No, thank you.
So Rodin and Fields, is it like national or is it local only?
Is it a franchise or just like a
We
big
are
company?
A franchise. Okay. Technically, we are direct sales, which is really interesting because we started in corporate America. So the company itself actually, with the two creators, our doctors, made Proactiv. Heard of Proactiv?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the acne medication. Yep. So we made Proactiv way back in like the 90s. In the early 2000s, they came out with Rodin and Fields. We became the number one brand selling in some of those high-end department stores in 2007. And these two women, Katie Rodin and Kathy Fields, just realized, holy cow, we're not selling because of sales clerks. We're not selling because of marketing. Mm. We're selling because people are talking about it. So they pulled everything out of the shelves, put them into individual hands, and we are now the number one brand in skincare in North America, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been just a couple short years, 10 short years, so to speak. But we do sell in America, Canada, and now Australia. So I spent 2 months in Australia earlier last year.
That's awesome.
So now it makes me think, how the heck are you finding your customers? Because you're probably not going door to door, knocking on everybody's door, saying, hey, I got Rodin and Fields in my purse.
Ain't
right?
Nobody got time for that.
So what are you doing to find your customers?
Same thing as I think all of us are doing. We're just out in the community. We're getting to know people. We're spreading awareness. You know, the world is changing. I really think that social media is the way the world is working. The big stores, the big brick and mortar locations, Target, Walmart, as amazing as they are, aren't necessarily where in my opinion, millennials are shopping anymore. I think we are supporting local, we are supporting small, and we appreciate when someone else can approach us for a dream that they have as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm basically just doing the same thing as you guys. I'm going out in the community, I'm talking to people and getting to know them, whether that be through social media, in person, at networking events, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, Snapchat. You want me to keep going? I can keep going.
MySpace.
AOL.
Email. I Am Messenger.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
What do you got, Josh? I got to switch the camera just because in order to get you on the camera, we only have one camera on you. So now you're live. You've been hidden this whole time.
So with that, do you just have like warehouses that they ship from, or do you have like product that you just sell straight to people, or how does that all work? Like when you're going and you find these people and they find you,
yeah.
How do you get the product to them?
Yeah, when someone wants to try something, they just talk to me and basically I make it very easy for them. They have 100% refund for like a full 60 days. So if they're not happy, they just send it back to those quote unquote warehouses, as you say. Yeah. We do try to make things a little bit more fresh than keeping them on the shelves in a back office. I picture one of those giant, what are they called? The big train station cars that are all packed on top of each other. That's what I'm picturing with the warehouse. It's not quite like that. But yeah, we do ship things straight to people's homes. So we're not a party hosting company. We are clinical dermatology. So we do something a little bit different than a lot of other companies that have come around in this field before. We do want to structurally help people with their skin, not just temporarily mask them or have to have like consultants like me host parties and be delivering things to people's homes. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody got time for that either.
Right.
One thing that I think is impressive is just how you've been so dedicated to the brand and how you've been so dedicated to the career. Talk about like your ability to maybe shut out some of those distractions of other career opportunities. Like what, how did you do that? Because I feel like here I am and I've been doing my thing now 10 years and I'm still distracted as all get out. Like I'm like, I'm going to go start a taco truck tomorrow. That's a great idea. You know, so.
Well,
and also
you,
just quick,
off.
How long have you been with the company?
8 years.
8 years.
Yeah, yeah, wow. A long time now. Actually, I hit my 8 years tomorrow. So
really?
It's my Rodaniversary,
congrats,
as we
that's
say. That's
awesome.
Really cheesy, but you know, I'm going there. Yeah, 8 years. And thank you, Bucky, for saying that. I do have a lot of passion for what I do, and primarily it's because I really like to help people, and I think that's why I'm okay going out in the community and getting to know them, figuring out their needs, who the type of people I could help would be. But I'm not the kind of person I think that people approach with a million job opportunities. Like, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm very, you know, I like to think I'm very creative. So I think of things, but I don't think you have to choose just one passion. I think you should choose one solid income. I think if we're constantly jumping from one thing to another, it's not going to work the best for the mass majority of people. But I do think that you can exercise some of your creativity in other ways and maybe make an extra little bit on the side if you want. So for 2 years, I decided to be a princess impressionist and went out and did Frozen Elsa parties and Cinderella and volunteered with Make-A-Wish Foundation and St. Mary's. And because why not, right? For 2 years, I did that. And I sell paintings on the side occasionally, like one a year. But
two, if you're watching, right. you're gonna buy one this year. It's the beginning of the year.
It is a new year, so I got two to sell. If you're looking, one a year. But yeah, I don't think anybody has to really choose where their passion lies. They just need to choose where they want to put the mass majority of their energy. So go start that taco truck. Just figure out which route you want to take to really have the mass majority of your income coming in on.
Hmm. Good.
I like that.
What about you? Do you have more than one route or?
Yeah, I mean, right now, with MediaCorp, that gave me the ability to quit my full time job. So this is all I'm doing is MediaCorp right now. But
what is MediaCorp?
Within that, yeah, it's the social media aspect where, you know, meeting with companies and businesses, brands, stuff like that, and working on, you know, growing that online presence. But then the photo and the video side as well, just because I love that kind of stuff. So
nice. It's
one under the same roof, but do multiple things. So, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, so you found a way to combine your passions.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Bucky, what about you? What do you do?
I'm still very distracted most times. But I think what I try to do is I try to stay what I would call vertically integrated. And what I mean by that is I try to do the additional ideas that I have, I try to keep them related to real estate. So an example would be, my main core business is helping people find space or helping people find investment properties. And I then go and buy a property with a partner, which then in turn feeds into my main core business of helping find somebody to go into that space. And I have two streams of income, one from the property if it's cash flowing, and two from the commissions if I'm actually helping somebody. So I try to keep things relatively vertically integrated.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But there's definitely times where I need blinders. And I've learned that over time of just like, you know, put the blinders on. Like, it's not worth going and starting something that's not related to what you're doing already for me. I think, talk about the Elsa thing. Like, that.
Oh, that was really cool, yeah.
Like, she just dropped that in and kept moving, and you're like, what
is that?
This.
Like, wait, what? What was that?
Now, it reminded me, because I forgot. Seeing those Facebook photos of, like, you making those kids, like, literally jump for joy, you know.
I was quiet about it. I was really quiet about it. Even when I did it, I never posted more than one time every 6 months on it. I mean, I didn't want people to know about it because I didn't want them to think that I was diverting off of my path with Verdana Fields.
That's a good way.
So I wanted to make sure that people, when they saw me, didn't think of me as Elsa, quote unquote, but they thought of me as Verdana Fields. So it was interesting. It was a Halloween costume, and I just thought to myself, dang, this is a really good Halloween costume, and it took me way too long to make. So I thought maybe I'd just benefit off it a little by helping someone else. I went to St. Mary's, and I just volunteered. I showed up. Like, I tried calling. They didn't answer, so I just showed up. And
Elsa's in the building.
They took one look at me, and they went, oh, hi. Do you need help? Are you here for something? And I said, no, I'm here to see kids. I think they were so confused. One nurse just took me around, although there were a couple of kids that really stood out, and I think they realized it was nice to have someone else in there besides just someone dressed like a human being. Mm-hmm. You know, a fairy tale person is a little bit more fun. There was one little kid, 6 years old, little boy. He was terminal with leukemia, and we sat holding hands, and his mom got on film us singing the Frozen song together, and I heard he did pass away a few months later. But there was another woman. I was walking past a room, and she pulls me inside. They gowned me. I didn't even know what was going on. She puts her one-year-old in my hand, and he's fussy and crying, and she said, please sing to him. So I sang to him, and I found out that he had just had open-heart surgery at one years old. So there were stories like those where it just meant so much to me, and it said, you know what, just keep going with this and see what happens. And same thing with the skincare, you know, it's to have people who have gained back confidence and have their whole worlds flipped upside down and changed just by the way that they feel about their confidence in themselves is really, really cool. Hmm.
Did you start an Instagram, Elsa in Minnesota or something like that?
Technically, it's illegal to use Disney's name without their approval, so no.
Gets shut down fast.
Part of the reason I kept it so quiet, yes.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Go for it, Josh. What are you thinking?
So, that's very cool, by the way. You know, that you were able to do that and impact those kids, that's fantastic.
Thank you.
So, right now, kind of turning it towards social media, what do you do on social to kind of reach your audience and grow that to the people that you want to get?
That's an awesome question. I think one that a lot of us wonder if we're doing too much or too little on social media and which social media we should focus on more. I one time about 5 years ago heard someone say once that you're supposed to focus on two outlets. You know, you should have your hand in all of them. You should focus and really master two of them. So I really like Facebook and I really like Instagram. I think those are the two that our generations are on most often. And I think Instagram really tackles the younger one more so than Facebook does. And Facebook tackles kind of the older generation more than Instagram does, so on and so forth. So I try to post on Facebook at least once a day, but not about my business. I try really hard to keep it personal, almost blog-styled. So I want to make sure that people who are following me aren't going, oh, gosh, another post, because we all have those friends
that we
have unfollowed when we see 21 photos in one day of their company. And it's just annoying.
That reminds me of, like, the Thrive thing.
Yeah.
The Thrive, like the big fitness Thrive.
What was
Thrive?
Thrive? I don't remember, but
it was like the patches and all the stuff.
It was a cool product.
Yeah.
But it was just throwing down people's throats.
All I saw from those people, though, that did it was just Thrive post, Thrive post, Thrive. And then, like, okay, I'm not following you anymore because.
Yeah. And Thrive companies. Yeah. It's not just Thrive.
No. That was just one, like, popped right in my head, like, oh man, I saw those so many times. Yeah.
Even with Verdana Fields, I work with a team of about 150, and I've been coaching them to really not focus on mm-hmm. social media, you know, to post maybe 2 to 3 times a week about their company and about Rodana Fields and about what they really, really, really support and want people to know. Because if you're only strategically posting that many times, you're going to post better things. You're going to post more powerful things. You're not just going to post willy-nilly anything that comes up. But at the same time, you're not going to ostracize all your friends. So, but I mean, even that being said, there are some people that I have had to pull aside and be like, hey, slap across the face. Mm. Stop doing that. Watch
business,
your friends
business,
list.
Business, right. Business, right.
How many friends have you lost since you started posting every single day?
One thing that I've noticed with Alexis is she goes live. And when she goes live, I think that she does a very good job of just keeping people interested in what you're doing.
Thank you.
And I mean, this has helped doing these. But besides that, like, to go live on Instagram is like a hurdle as heck for me, because I'm like, no one wants to see what I don't know what I'm going to say to them.
Yeah.
So you've done a good job of going live and then rolling with it. Like,
what do you do when you go live?
I take the same approach as I do on Facebook and Instagram when I post, to not post about just my business, but I do keep it strategically to skincare. So usually it's some sort of educational tip or trick on skin.
Yep.
So last week I talked about sunscreen, how often you're supposed to apply it, what types of sunscreen you use for your skin type, what ingredients to avoid, things like that. But I try to keep them under 5 minutes, and I think that's the only reason I even have viewers. At all, is because anything over 5 minutes on Facebook and Instagram, people are like, da 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 da, now I'm gonna go over here and I'm gonna shut you down. So it just kind of drags on. You have to talk quick and you gotta keep energy up. And luckily, you know, this is nervous already. So it's not hard to have your adrenaline help you talk a little faster, keep the education and the entertainment a little higher. And if you do it live, there's no practicing. Mm-hmm. So you just go for it and find out what happens.
Do you have like a strategy of times to go live?
Yes. I strategically go live at 9 p.m. every single Tuesday night on my Instagram. Used to be on Facebook. I used to go live on Facebook for about a year and a half every Tuesday night. I think I only missed one. I actually just had pretty major surgery on my shoulder. I'm about 3 months post-op now. And it was 2 days out of surgery, and I went live. I didn't miss it. And, you know, that's the thing, is it's not just about – people don't watch you because they necessarily care what you say all the time. Sometimes they just want to know what's going on in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So I made sure that I was consistent with it. But now I'm on Instagram because Facebook changed all its algorithms, and it doesn't tell you when someone's live as often anymore. Mm-hmm. Instagram does.
Instagram's good at that.
Did you realize that it has the watch party function on Facebook? So our first podcast, I said, all right, I'm going to do a watch party.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what it was. And all of a sudden, people start joining like crazy, and it's because they got the notifications. And then I didn't realize they're actually watching my screen live. And then I, like, didn't realize that. So I'm jumping in the podcast, and I'm sure people are like, what is he doing? You know, like, I came here to watch this.
You don't have to invite people to that. It just automatically sends them an invite?
Notification in the notification center, and it says, watch party has begun.
I did not know this. I should go back to Facebook.
Well, and I think that's the thing about these social media platforms. They're testing and they're figuring out and they're seeing what's working.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So, like, when the new thing comes out, it's definitely worth, now that you're comfortable with
they
social.
They always push the new thing a little more.
Yeah.
Just to see
now
what's
now that you're
going
comfortable
on.
With social, like, jump into the new thing, because I think you'll see a quick return based upon doing that.
Well, here's a question for both of you. Do you think it's too much to go live on Instagram and Facebook at the same time?
Oh, just like two phones?
Yeah, like have a phone and an iPad and then my computer.
No, I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Because either way, you're going to get different viewers. And, you know, even if one's less than the other, you're still getting more kind of thing, you know?
What if you're not looking at them, though? Like, you know, sometimes you have to look at this camera, and then I have to look over here, and then I have to look over here. Do people get really annoyed with that? Like, that's my question. I would actually love if people commented on this after it's posted to let me know if that annoys you, if somebody's not looking at the camera specifically that you are watching.
What I bet you put them together and then you were far enough away that it wasn't, like, super noticeable, kind of like which one you're looking at.
I'll be this big.
Unless
the tiny little inch big election.
Just in the back of the room. Like, hey, everyone live.
Can you hear
Hey, guys.
Me?
I guess what comes to mind for me is I think production quality matters. You know, as much as I want to say just go and do it and have cameras, and production quality matters, and that's part of the reason that we've done this the way we have. Like, we didn't just, I don't know, started willy-nilly. We invested in the equipment, because I feel as though then when you get the momentum, the momentum you can keep and take much further. So I think the personality and the, you know, talking to the people directly at the camera really matters personally. Okay. It's like they're not talking to me. They're not looking at the camera. They don't, you know, they're just trying to get my attention kind of, and I got other things that need my attention. So I don't know. That's my personal thought.
You guys are no help. You said one thing, you said the other thing. I don't know who to believe.
But and know what that means is everybody's going to think something different.
Yeah.
And there is no right or wrong way to how you do social. It's just
exactly.
Probably number one, just get after it, start doing it. So, and you've done that. I mean, there's no doubt about it. 11,000 followers on Instagram.
Is that right?
On some of my videos, I've had quite a few. Actually, I think I had 7,000 viewers once on one of the videos. Wow. I don't know what I was doing. Awesome. Maybe I looked decent that day. Who knows? I don't know. I don't normally, so.
That's nuts. That's cool. What have you seen kind of surprises to you that have come out of your activity on social? Like, are you seeing, obviously, you're probably seeing more business, so that means allows you to keep doing, but what's some other things, what's examples that you've seen of just being active on social?
You know, this is, I don't consider myself an inspiring person by any means. I think that I am very normal. My story is very normal. There are people that have done way more amazing things than anybody in this entire city has done. But, well, I guess we do live near Mayo, so I shouldn't say that too loudly. But I've been really, really inspired myself and amazed by how many people have approached me to say that I have inspired them. And that has meant the world, to know that I have made a difference in someone's life. And I guess that's why I did the Princess Impressions. It's why I went into working in skin in the first place. I wanted to make a difference, be an impact. So that I did not expect to find on social media itself. So that's probably the biggest one. The other thing I didn't expect was all the haters, which is going to happen. But like the Bucky, we were talking earlier today about random friend requests on Facebook. And I have viewers now who are not friends of mine on Facebook. And they, I have no clue who they are. A lot of them don't even live in the United States. But they say, "You forehead big," or not sure what talk really? About. Like, not grammatically correct in any way. But it still stings. I'm still an emotional female. So, it makes me laugh. But at the same time, yeah, it's amazing that people would go out of their way to be mean like that and to say something. Like, what's the point? Come on, buddy. You stay in your little, you know, nice warm place, and I'm going to stay up here in the cold.
Yeah. It's a lot easier to comment than it ever has been, you know. And that's, but I think that comes with the territory of just, you know, being expected at some point. We're still small enough, we don't have the haters.
I don't have haters yet. That's for the big
that's for people with the following.
That's 10K and above. You're gonna get haters.
At what level do you gain haters?
You made it right there. Like, I got haters now. Like, I'm doing something right.
I like that. You should coin that. Like, I made it, I have haters.
Any publicity is good publicity now. Guys, yeah.
People think that my forehead is too big and I look too young. I am there.
Oh, yeah.
Are you doing anything with Rodan and Fields, with your business, that is other than social media, that's still driven by the internet, that's helping your business a lot? So, for example, ranking on SEO, ranking on Google search, I don't know, just anything.
Yeah, I'm actually the number one Google search in Rochester for Rodan and Fields. Which is really funny, and I think it's because I'm a part of the Chamber of Commerce. So I'm in their website, and their website's pretty big for Rochester searches in Google. So I've made a couple of random clients that I probably would have never made just from people who researched it and found my phone number. So that has helped. I also have a Google business page. I have no clue how I started it or who helped me or what I even do on it. I've never changed it. I've never edited it, but it's there. And every month I get the little email that says, "You have this many viewers." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I don't know. It seems random, but that seems to be helping. Otherwise, I would say the mass majority of my business comes from the one-on-one relationship building, especially in Rochester. I've lived in about 7 different cities where I've had to start over, not knowing a single person. And this is the first city I've ever lived in that it is 100% getting to know people, building a relationship, and that whole motto of people want to work with people they like and trust is 100% true here. So it's been interesting to see that.
We're still a very small town. I think that as much as we have ambitions to grow, and we are growing, and we're drawing people from all over the world, we are still a small town. And I think that's what I like about it a lot, because it's like, you know, you get to know just how the city works, and it's cool mm-hmm. because it's a small town. I can walk down the sidewalk and see somebody I know and head to the gas station and see somebody I know, you know? So, I don't know.
Unless you don't want to see someone you know, and then you're hiding behind, you know, the cornflakes.
Well, everything does online orders now, so you can just do Amazon or, like, show up at Walmart in their little carriage area for, like, order.
Or Hy-Vee. You can check her on Hy-Vee. Pull up delivers. Yep.
What else we got? This has been, we're 25 minutes in. Thank you. Do you feel like with the podcast, like, you get going and now you feel a little more comfortable with it? Like,
oh, absolutely. I mean, I love this stuff, and I really appreciate that you did invite me on, so thank you. It's good to kind of experience this. I haven't been behind a microphone like an actual microphone. Usually it's just an iPhone microphone in a very, very long time. So I hope I'm not over-talking. Glad I have the opportunity to speak.
And the thing is, there's no right or wrong way. You know, we're figuring it out. It's like, we have tried to add this multiple camera feature to switch cameras and things like that. I don't know if it's the right way or the wrong way, but it's another way of just adding to the production quality. And I think it's cool how you can just have the conversation that we'd probably be having either way. That's how we felt with some of these podcasts. Like, we're going to be having these conversations. Now we just happen to put a mic and some cameras in front
of
us.
You did offer me wine when I walked in. So, we could have been at Ground Rounds right now. It would have been the same conversation.
Right. That's all it is. Friday night podcast at the China Hall.
That's right.
Although I will say, can I comment on this location?
Yeah.
Being above the store that's beneath it.
What are you talking about? We're parallel to Newt's.
Oh.
We're parallel to Newt's, right next to Jefe Rojo.
The Jefe Rojo, but underneath us, I've only wandered in.
What's the store called? You're the first one to bring attention to it.
I have no idea what it's called. I don't know if I'm allowed to. Am I allowed to say porn on the web?
It's not called a porn shop. It's called Downtown Intimates.
Oh, okay.
And Downtown Intimates, they probably do have that stuff in there. I don't know. I've never been inside. And
you've never been inside.
I have had to go inside. Absolutely.
I was gonna say, we're right above them.
Like, our utilities run off of the store. So it is Downtown Intimates. It has been a hurdle for trying to rent space and activate China Hall because of where it's located. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. But at the same point, it is what it is.
Well, like, and honestly, it gives it kind of a fun feel. Like, I walk in here and I don't get the whole snubby kind of tight-knit feel where you're not allowed to be yourself. Mm-hmm. I kind of get this, everyone underneath my feet is a super free-flying bird and they don't care what anybody thinks about them feel. Yeah. And that rises up. So I do get more of a comfort in these rooms.
We got to figure out how to market that. Like,
yes.
You know what I'm saying? Office of China Hall, you can be yourself. It's all good. Play a game of ping pong. Above Downtown Intimates.
Go buy a dildo, whatever you're feeling like that day.
Whatever you're feeling like. No discounts if you're a member. That's not how this works. Two separate businesses completely.
Yeah. Nobody's brought that up. Oh,
no one has. So this story of it is the building owner also owns the business, and he does not want to sell the building, right?
Yeah.
But he wanted to activate the space. And so how could you activate the space? You definitely were not going to rent it to an attorney. Like the attorney probably wasn't going to come up here and rent the whole office because of its general location. Not to say we wouldn't welcome an attorney. It's just probably not likely. And so this is what it's led to, is this co-working space in downtown with the idea that bringing small businesses, bringing creators, bringing people that aren't even small businesses but want to be in a creative environment can have a place to exist that's other than a coffee shop or other than their home. And it has aspects that other office space doesn't have. So
I love that.
Yeah, yep. We're getting there. Slowly but surely. We got 6 office spaces available, and then we got a co-working space out in the common area for just people that want to work 24/7, 325 a month. And then we got the podcast room, and you can take the conference room. We have an event tonight, a going away party for somebody. So
yeah, it's fun too. I honestly think this would be a great place to work. I would love to do it. It looks beautiful.
Thank you. Any last words, Josh, as we
just
go through that?
Just quick, because we were talking about the mics and cameras a little bit. What do you use for what you do? Do you have, like a camera? Do you have, like, any kind of special mics? Or is it all just
I
cell phone?
Right?
She has a VHS camera.
Yes. Yep. Seriously.
Oh, really?
No, not really. I have an iPhone X, which is really cool, because I feel really technologically savvy. So I have an iPhone also, like a 4, and I use that to sometimes record and then transfer. Like, guys, I have no idea how this stuff works. Like, I literally turn it on and I push the button. I started doing Instagram two Tuesdays ago. for the first time. It was always on Facebook before that. And I sat and looked like that grandma, you know, on that video where she's trying to Skype with her kids and she's got her nose super big up into the camera. That was me at the end of the video going, how do I turn this thing off?
I'm live.
To my Instagram.
Oh, hi.
Yes, legit.
It's been going for 2 minutes.
I kept thinking it was off. I tried to make a phone call. It like went up to my ear and the video was like up to my face. It was so bad, guys. That's so awesome. Bad. So I've been learning with just my iPhone and like a lamp.
Yeah.
A lamp. Yeah, nothing special. People can do this with nothing but a cell phone or a computer.
So for you, have you seen video do better than just pictures do?
Yeah.
For your content.
Much with pictures. I see her video, so that's what I'm used to.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if there's much of a difference. I'm a huge believer in putting in the work to whatever you have to do, regardless of getting volume out right away. And I think that the mass majority of my live videos are just to grow awareness, and that's all that they do. But it also keeps me in the forefront of people's minds. Mm. So it helps them see me and feel like they know me, even though I'm not necessarily with them in person. That video really, really helps me get more personal with them, mm-hmm. while photos, like before and after photos, factual statistic photos, things like that, are 100% just Rodan and Fields. So I think they kind of tackle two different ships. One of them gets to know me so they can get comfortable and trust me, and then the other one really shows them what the company I work with does so that eventually, hopefully, they combine. Mm-hmm. But I don't think one works better than the other. It's just that maybe going live is a little slower to see the volume because it's not necessarily a volume grower. I don't do it to get the volume right away.
Mm. One thing that I'm kind of picking up on this of the live is having a topic going in. I think that will help me go live. I don't do that. I think, like, I'll go live and come up with it. And don't have the topic, I just won't go live. So I feel like you have the topic when you're ready to go live. You're like, I'm going to talk about sun control. You know,
yes.
Where I'm sitting here thinking, all right, that's what I got to start doing. I'm going to talk about podcasts. I'm going to talk about...
Well, it depends on what your goal is. Like, for me, it's I want to give them something educational so that they learn.
Yeah.
If you're just wanting to go live so that you are only growing awareness to who you are and people can see you, then who cares? All they want to hear about is what you ate for lunch that day. It doesn't really matter.
I can't do that.
But
I can't do that.
What you ate for lunch, why? Is it, like, huge and inappropriate?
No, I just can't do that. I feel like no one wants to watch that. I don't know. I just don't feel comfortable doing
that. Well, then maybe it would feel more you would feel more confident and you would feel more comfortable going live if you did set a topic.
Yeah.
So maybe make a list. Like, I always tell people when they're starting to learn how to go live or feel confident and comfortable going live, write a script. There's nothing wrong with that. Write a script and maybe write numerous. Maybe you get into the writing creative mode and you decide, I'm going to do topics on these 10 things, and you're going to write every single one of them down. And then you have a page in your notebook where every single day for whatever that topic was, you wrote a script of exactly what you wanted to say. And then you set it up in front of you behind the camera so that you can look at it like this. And read it while you're live. Hopefully you don't do this, though. You know, don't do that. But maybe that'll help, you know?
It will help. I need to pick a topic, and I know that by doing that, I'm going to be, watch out, I'm coming after live.
Yeah.
Josh, I notice on yours, you like, and they're good videos, you give tips on, he does a video on his Instagram.
Oh.
And then he does a tip related to social media, and they're good. They're focused on him, and he goes, hey, guys. This is your tip for today, you know, and you're just really good at that. It's cool to see.
Yeah.
What was your tip today?
So, like, actually today it was actually on video. It was kind of standing out in social media marketing for 2019 just because it's 2019 and everyone's on social media. And how you standing out kind of thing is a big part of that now, especially if you have people doing the same thing in the same field.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you different? So I think video, like you were saying, it's that personable content. They're seeing you. They're seeing your attitude and, like, the genuineness of, like, what you're doing. And then that makes it like, oh, okay, I like them. I want to help them, do business with them, meet with them, you know, whatever it is. I think that is what really helps.
Are you noticing a shift in people going live? Is there more? Are there more, I suppose?
So I think people are going live more. I don't do it enough. I know that. Because, again, I need a script. I need, like, this is what I'm talking about.
Set a time.
Because
you'll
I've always.
Set
a, yeah.
Set a time.
I love that idea.
Because I do a lot of videos, but I just record them. Then I just post them on my normal Instagram posts and Facebook posts instead of going live with it. So that was kind of like where I was asking, like, the picture differ from the video. Because I always see when I post a video, it, like,
crushes.
Twice or three times as many.
Oh, yes. Many more views.
And stuff like that. That is going, further. But I think that goes down to these social platforms, Facebook and Instagram, are trying to become a YouTube because they see how big YouTube is and they want a piece of the pie. So whenever you do video, those platforms push it further because that's what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. So that's like that. It's that new thing, even though it's not brand new, but that's what they want to grow more. So that's what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Girls can't just go live unless they prepare. We have makeup to apply and hair to brush. And
not all of them, actually. Not
no, that's true. That's true.
I just woke up out of bed. Let's roll.
Whoa. When you work in skincare, you have a reputation.
That's a pet peeve of my Instagram. You know how when someone goes live, it pops up the notification on the very top, and then you accidentally click it, and then you're like in there live, and you're like, oh, gosh darn it. I was trying to click on switching my account or something else. You know.
Yes, I've done that.
Alexis, thank you for joining us for the Office of the China Hall podcast on a Friday night. Where can people find you on social media and learn more about your company and how to go live?
Yeah, well, thanks, Bucky. I appreciate the invite. My name is Alexis Simmons. I am on Facebook and Instagram. I think if they just search my name, Alexis Simmons, they'll probably find me. Otherwise, on Instagram, my handle is LexStar, so LexStar 2007.
Awesome.
Very cool.
We'll see everybody next week. We don't know who our guest is. We don't know what we're going to talk about, but we know we're going to be at the Office of the China Hall. And that's it.
Very cool.
Boom. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
This is great.
Yeah. Isn't that fun?
Yeah.